We're back in Terre Haute, September, with Mayor Duke Bennett again. Thank you very much for having us here. You know, we haven't talked in a while. Much has happened, as always, here. And I just wanted to start with last Thursday night. City Council meeting voted on the storm water fee ordinance that did not pass. And you know, this all came about, as you told us many times before, city work needs to be done, flood control, the Clean Water Act, these are mandates, but it's a great cost. And now it seems like maybe are you back at square one?
Well, we're looking at a sewer rate increase. I don't know if the stormwater thing is completely dead yet or not, but that version of it is. The council just got some pushback from a few businesses and a few churches. That was really where the primary pushback was. We felt it was a much more progressive way to do this because it would take the burden off the people who own homes in the city, because right now, any stormwater related project we're doing, we're taking it out of the sewer bills. And so the backs, you know, it's on the backs of the people, the community are paying for the big businesses and the churches and everybody else who are paying very little for the amount of stormwater they contribute. So that's what we thought was the right thing to do, which many other communities have done that. 92 have gone before us. And eventually everybody's going to have a stormwater fee, but maybe we won't have one in Terre Haute because the council doesn't want to do that. Now we're looking at a sewer rate increase because we have no choice. We had to do one of the two. We have to have new revenue. No question about that. Almost all the council members agree with that, but how we do it and how we get there seems to be still a little up in the air. I'm looking forward to next month's discussion though, because nothing changes. All the rules of the game stay the same. We're just looking at a different way to collect revenue. If they want to go back and revisit maybe a smaller stormwater fee that's the same for everybody and then do a small sewer rate increase, I'm even open to that. So my goal is to get something done here in the next couple of months, because we've got to start construction by next fall, a year from now. We have to start the next phase of that long-term control plan.
You talk about that. I believe it's a 30% sewer rate increase. What has to happen for the council to want to move this forward?
You know, I don't know. If it'd be nice if they would really just come forward with it. You know, I hear some pushback on the pilot fee we take out of the wastewater treatment plant. Once again, everybody else is doing it across the state. Why is it okay for everybody else to do it, but it's bad in Terre Haute? We can't do that. It's just ridiculous. You know, we've got people, it helps us with our general fund. That's why the General Assembly created that option for municipalities who own utilities to pull out a pilot fee from it to help with the general fund. That's exactly what it's for, and that's what we're using it for. So we got a little bit of pushback on that one. So maybe it's a give or take. If we reduce that a little bit, I'm hopeful that we'll, you know, be able to come up with some kind of a compromise. But we need that money. The city, we have to have that. In order to cut $5 million out of the budget, I'd have to lay off a tremendous amount of policemen and firemen. There's no other option available to us, and that's the last resort, and I'm not going down that road.
Yeah, and this is what it seems like it comes to, is this bigger issue of just the budget in general. And it sounds like, just from reading up in the Tribune Star, that there's just some frustrations boiling over. This is constant struggle to balance the budget. And of course, we talk about this every month here, but you're trying to make up those millions in property tax cuts that, you know, and then it just comes down to the bottom line is what now? And you talked about it, the trash fee that was imposed earlier this year.
Yep. So I guess really when you step back from this, you know, we're losing about $13 million a year than what we used to collect back in 2009. That's a significant hit. The trash fee is going to generate a little over $2 million a year for us, so that helps tremendously to pay for that contract. So we don't need to make up $13 million a year. We just got to make up a little bit more. It's probably about another $2 to $2.5 million. With the stormwater fee or the sewer rate increase, either way you go on that, it locks in our pilot that we take out of the wastewater treatment plant at $5 million a year. That's the difference. We're collecting about 2.7 each year right now for the pilot, and we raised it by 2.3 million. What that does is, and that's perfectly legal, there's a formula that the State Board of Accounts approves, so all that discussion out there about how bad that is and somehow we're making up a number is totally bogus. This will solidify our general fund. If we got the rate increase passed, we will get that $5 million and we will have a surplus in our general fund this year that will go against the deficit. Next year, it'll be the same thing. We'll have a surplus, go against the deficit. our financial problems are addressed. And so why they're hesitant to do that, some of it's politics. Some of them want me to fail. They don't want the budget to be fixed. It's that simple. Others are just concerned about raising rates. You know, we did the trash fee. They don't want to raise these other rates. But the problem is communities all across the state are facing the same challenges, and they're just doing the hard thing, and they're just getting it done and being finished with it. Once we put these in place, we're good to go.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I got from the Star article was, you know, we know about the problem, but now let's just talk about, let's work together and be positive and try to fix it now.
And we keep bringing things to the council and they just say no. And they're not offering any other suggestions or alternatives.
So the final budget vote, October 8th, is there something that you're hoping everyone will be able to agree upon?
And we'll see. You know, I feel good about the budget. We've presented another budget that's smaller than last year. We cut $3.5 million out of last year's budget. You know, we've cut more out of this year's budget. And so it won't be that much because I don't have anything left to cut. But we have reduced the budget overall. Our overall budgets are reduced other than sanitary and the wastewater side because, you know, we've got to take another bond out. So our budgets are going to have to increase there. But, you know, when you look at everything else that we do, we've reduced it again. And that's all I can do. Costs continue to go up and I'm still reducing the budget by squeezing and squeezing. But at some point, that new revenue has to hit the books.
So just one more on this and we'll move on. What's the message to the residents who do read about this and hear about this budget, constant budget struggle? What's your message?
It's unfortunate they have to keep hearing about it, but you know, we just have to act on some things. We don't need to make up that $13 million a year loss, but we have to have enough to operate the city. And so that comes in the form of some type of user fee. We can't increase taxes. You know, they keep running around saying that we want to increase taxes. Well, we don't have the authority to do that. So it has to be through user fees. And they're still going to be paying a lot less, even with these new fees, than what they were paying. They're still saving money. And we're not dreaming up a bunch of stuff and coming up with projects on our own. These are things that we're mandated to do, and with the part we're talking about now.
I just read a report. Indiana highway officials say new bypass around Terre Haute's been in the works for long time.
A very long time.
Here it says 13 years.
Well, that's just when they really started saying, okay, we're going to go do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's been on the books for 30.
Wow.
You know.
But it's getting to the point that it should open late this year. Do you have a date? And what does this do for the area?
Well, you know, it helps connect the airport, I-70, the Indianapolis, if you will, to our industrial park. So it helps a lot from a economic development perspective, you know, getting people through Terre Haute if they're going from Indianapolis to Evansville. I know I-69 is on its way and it's going to happen, but this will help with traffic flow. They don't have to come through Terre Haute per se. You know, it should have been done many, many years ago. In my opinion, it should have been done instead of I-69. They could have upgraded 41 and probably saved $1 billion by doing that, but we're finally getting it done. That's what I'm happy about because it really is going to help the community. It'll help that area out east grow more too around that new highway.
Speaking of roads, Terre Haute and Vigo County, I believe, and some of the data I looked at, did not apply for that matching grant state road money allotment. Mm-hmm. Why was
that? We couldn't because we didn't have our roadway management plan completed. And we'd been working on it, but it's pretty significant. And in order to apply for those funds, you had to have that completed. And we came up a little short on that, but it's because it's a big plan that had to be created. Every street has to be identified and ranked. And it's just a pavement management process that the state requires now to get funding. So we're getting that done now. We'll be ready to go to this next round, and I'm sure we'll get funding in that round.
I read about a new design for the Holman Center that will now be combined as a convention center for this area. Of course, this is on the Indiana State University campus. But this sounds like part of a partnership too with the city.
It is. It's the city, the county, ISU, and the Convention and Tourism Bureau. But the CIB that we've created, similar to what Indianapolis has, will operate this facility. ISU will rent it off of the group. They'll maintain ownership, but you know, at a dollar a year lease or something like that to us, where we will operate it as a local community entity made up of those partners. And so, very exciting. You know, last Friday we rolled that out to the public of kind of what the conceptual pieces look like. The architects and engineers are going crazy to get the design work done so we get the specifications completed and the building design all the way finished so we can take it to bid. The funding part is working on being put in place, and it'll be a transformational kind of project, not only for downtown and Terre Haute, but Vigo County and West Central Indiana. We don't have any convention space. We turn away conventions all the time. Not trying to compete with Indianapolis, we just want to be able to handle those smaller ones that a city like Terre Haute should have here. More entertainment options, more athletic events. We really look to, we're going to hire a firm to do all that and market it and really just go crazy with opportunity and bring a lot of people to Terre Haute to participate in a variety of events.
It's a $75 million project. Where do those funds come from?
Well, $37.5 million came from the state of Indiana through some educational side of things for Holman Center. I think one of the last probably allocations of money that'll be tied to an athletic facility. And then the other half of that money will be raised locally through the city and the county, the CIB, or CI, Convention Tourism Bureau through the CIB, and then ISU will be a partner in that too, of guaranteeing a certain amount of rent each year for all their basketball games or graduations, a variety of events they have, they will pay in that way.
Does the city need to get involved in terms of infrastructure around the arena as well?
You know, there's a little
about
bit.
Parking,
you know,
and you know,
exactly.
Things like that.
We, you know, I'm sure some of that stuff will come down the road a little bit. We know that there's adequate parking for the size of events that we host now, but as it grows and we get 3, 4, 5 years down the road when it's fully operational, you know, some of these conferences, they're scheduled out for 4 or 5 years. When we actually are able to begin to fill up the schedule there, we're going to have to consider additional parking, especially to the east of the facility, and more than likely another hotel downtown. So, and people are already starting to think about that and begin to do some preliminary planning.
So I can, usually I like to end now and then with just what's on the mayor's desk, but I think we know what's on the mayor's desk, and it's probably your top priority right now is just the budget.
Got to get the budget done. I feel really good about what we're proposing. I just need the council to act on this new revenue for the wastewater treatment plant, sanitary district. Once we do that, then we lock in the funding for our general fund and we get this stuff behind us. It's time to make a decision and move on. And thinking about trying to cut $5 million worth of salaries and benefits out of the police and fire department to fix that is not feasible. It's just not. That's the only other alternative we have, and I am not going there. Public safety is number one, and we have an obligation to keep our citizens safe, so we just need to fix this little budget problem. We got one more step to do, and we're good. So that's all I'm asking.
And I think I've read, and you would know the statistic, but there's already been millions cut from the budget.
Absolutely.
It's not like it hasn't been touched over the last 5 years.
No, and that's the thing. If you look at our budget, the general fund itself has grown about 4% in expenditure since 2008. But we've got all kinds of contracts, like the waste contract, 911 contract, our health insurance costs have gone up, our other insurance have gone up, our gas prices have fluctuated. In some years it's really high, other years it's not. But, you know, we have to be able to pay for those basic services, the things that we need to deliver. And here we are all these years later, and we've only increased spending in there by 4%. Well, if we hadn't done that, just looking at inflation alone, we'd be spending millions more, and it's not. We've been able to shift some of those costs to other areas where we do have revenue at, and then other things we've just stopped doing, and we haven't been able to give any raises, and just we've tried to do some things to hold the line until we were able to get this revenue in, and so now we're just waiting on this last step to be able to do that.